And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That's what they call me. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub. That's either David Tewksbury or Four Eyes or Doofus or Insane Seahawks fan. You know, all the above. It's all welcome. It's all good stuff. It's true. I am a Four Eyes. We're talking about it off the air here a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. It's a Wolves midweek installment of the show. Coming up in about a half an hour's time, we're talking some Northern State men's basketball as James Glenn. He'll be joining us live in studio, and I've been calling him NASA this season. I don't necessarily love that nickname. I feel like that's not great. I feel like I can do better than that. But you've got John Glenn, who was a guy who was a NASA. James, John, it's kind of in that realm. So we'll see what he thinks about that. And then coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the head honcho over there for the Northern State Wrestling Squad. He is Rocky Burkett. So looking forward to that conversation with him. I feel like I can do better than NASA, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you could maybe do a little bit better. I like it.
You like it.
I do like it.
Yeah. I like it. I don't love it. You know?
Yeah.
Did you ever have something like that?
Sure.
You like it. You don't like a girlfriend. You know, like, I don't really like her. I don't really love her.
Sure.
It's kind of like me and that nickname.
Yeah. I like it.
I could grow to love it.
You could. Wonder if he loves it.
Yeah. That's really kind of what matters.
Yeah. If he loves it, then you don't need to change a thing.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll certainly ask him that. No two ways about it. But good stuff there. And speaking of Four Eyes, that was something I actually got called a lot when I was a kid growing up back in the day. And, you know, you've got some new spectacles here in studio. Those looking pretty fresh on you.
Yeah, I got to say, I've been telling people, I've been taking pictures of me with these glasses on and telling people how good do I look in these glasses. I've been doing that a lot here lately. I think I look great in these things.
So it's been a popular response?
It has been a popular response. But I think it's more of me generating the popular response because I'm saying how good I do look in these.
You know, when we used to have Clay Travis on Fox Sports Aberdeen, he always used to kind of jokingly do stuff like that. You know, I hate to brag, hate to draw attention to myself.
Send like a picture to my buddies. Not saying anything, but how good do I look in these glasses right now?
I feel like you're Ron Burgundy over here pulling an Anchorman. Hey, I've got an urgent announcement. Come see how good I look. So good stuff there from the Cobra for sure. He does look good. It is a radio crowd here, but for those of you that are check it out on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page and the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook stream.
The hair, however, is all over the place today.
I was going to say, if I said that, I'd say look who's talking because my hair is clearly way out of whack. It's been about 2 months now. I need to get mine taken care of.
Yeah, that's getting about that time for me as well. We're pretty much on the same haircut schedule.
Yeah.
So it's time for us to get a haircut, I guess.
You know what? We need to go get haircuts together. You know? That feels like our next step in a male-to-male relationship.
There you go.
Getting haircuts together, you know? That's the next step.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I mean, we watched the Super Bowl together.
We did do that.
So
that was a lot of fun.
That's something. I hated that game. 49ers and Chiefs. Hated both of those teams.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that Super Bowl either.
No, I didn't know what to do. I felt dirty either way. I'm not going to be rooting for the Chiefs. God, no. And we got
extra football because it went overtime in that game, too.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, we want the game to be over. Nah, let's play an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah. Food tasted good, though. Company was good. All right. Coming up next on the show, we're talking with the Northern State Wrestling head coach, Rocky Burkett. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and get to the jump with
Mr. Unlimited.
Here on FSA, 1420 and 98.5. It's going to be more on the local side of things here today, but we do have a couple of national stories. But speaking of the Super Bowl, did you know on this date in history, 58 years ago, it all began? Super Bowl number one, this date in history, 58 years ago. If you can believe it. 58 years ago, it all began, and I always kind of chuckle at some of the side-by-sides of Super Bowl I at midfield. It's basically the referee and both teams with their captains. Now, it's
whoever.
Whoever. I mean, it's both teams' captains. You've got some ceremonial coin tosser. You got Phil from down the hall. He's there. You know, you got a referee out there. You've got, like, John Bon Jovi out there, something like that. Like, Beyonce's probably out there, too. Who knows? Like, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is there at midfield for the Super Bowl coin toss. It's just interesting, those side-by-sides.
And I saw a random fact yesterday that it was one of the first Super Bowls, or I don't know if it was that Super Bowl, it was another one, that it was on two different networks. That's the only time it's happened in the history of the Super Bowl, that usually there's one standalone network.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was Super Bowl one or which one exactly was it. I did see a fact, though, that came to in our prep yesterday, that was it was there was one Super Bowl that was on like CBS and NBC or something,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only time it's happened in the history of the Super Bowl, which I thought was a little interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I definitely don't see that happening nowadays, but maybe it could with like the Nickelodeon webcast of that or something like that.
Yeah, remember? They had that all going on this weekend for
right.
Wild Card. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't promote that much at all.
No. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, the game was enough. You know, I've said that before. The game was enough. I didn't need to be entertained with slime. Football was football. That was enough for me. But for other people, I guess it's just not enough. So, yeah, those are the new offensive coordinators the next 25 years.
I started watching football on Nickelodeon. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, speaking of which, offensive coordinators and what have you, the Seattle Seahawks, my Seattle Seahawks, have officially requested to interview the Vikings assistant, and I'm trying not to butcher this guy's name, but Grant Udinski, I think that's the way that guy's name is pronounced, for the vacant offensive coordinator job. Of course, they just fired Ryan Grubb here about a week and a half or so ago. But here's the thing. Do you know anything about Grant Udinski?
I do not.
I don't really much either. But get this. He could be the new offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. We'll see. He's 28 years old.
Wow.
28 years old. Can you imagine being the leader of men at age 28, an NFL offensive or defense, any coordinator for that matter, at age 28? Can you imagine?
No, I can't. And I feel like NFL teams nowadays are looking for that young, bright mind. We saw it with younger head coaches getting hired and what they've been able to accomplish. A lot of young head coaches have been able to win at a high level. I mean, you look at Kevin O'Connell, for example. He's pretty young. You look at Sean McVay in L.A., what he's been able to do. Just some younger coaches. I mean, Ben Johnson, he seems like a younger guy. He's going to get a head coaching job. Every NFL team's looking for that young, bright mind. And you never know. He could be successful here if he gets that opportunity. You just don't know.
Well, he would join the youngest head coach in the NFL, of course. Our guy, your guy, my guy. He's all of our guys.
McDonald.
Mike McDonald. Big fan of him, for sure.
And that's the other guy for the Dolphins. I'm blanking on his name.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel, another young coach.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't won in the playoffs, but remember when they first started, everybody's like, how do we stop this offense? So, again, another example of young coaches being able to win.
And then he started wearing joggers on the sideline.
Yeah, matching it were like a Dolphins growling on the sideline.
What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, final one here for the Vikings. I know Vikings fans are a little bit upset about the game still, certainly from Monday. And you know what? Sometimes if you don't laugh, then you'll just cry. And we were kind of talking about it on yesterday's show. Sam Darnold had a tough day at the office. Paul Allen was going through it on the broadcast, and I sent you this, and let's just hear one of the sacks that Sam Darnold took. Game is 17-3. This is in the second quarter, just before halftime. And Paul Allen, like I said, going through it.
Him, Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run. Paul.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a fifth time.
just throw it, man. Oh, man. I think we've all been there to a certain degree with our teams, but Paul Allen wears that heart on his sleeve.
Oh, he certainly does, and he said it on the air. I was saying it at home watching the game. Throw the ball.
Yeah.
And we talked about that yesterday, holding the ball just entirely too long. He even had some running lanes that he maybe could have ran for a couple yards. Sam Darnold, he's not a statue back there.
He's very athletic.
Yeah, run the ball a little bit, man. But Paul Allen, he's the definition of wearing your heart on your sleeve right there. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a Paul Allen fan, and I have not always been a Paul Allen fan, but he's won me over. No two ways about it. All right, on the local side of things, let's take a look at some girls' basketball final scores from last night, as we'll have more of this later on in the program as time permits. We'll see. But the Roncalli girls, a nice victory for them at home last night against Falkton, 52-43. Ava Hansen with 16 points and 6 steals. Roncalli really kind of piecing things together here a little bit. Oh, by the way, before we take a look at the rest of the girls, I want to have an amendment. Yesterday on the show, I think I said that Duel isn't having that great of a season. Mm-hmm. I think they've only had one or two losses all year. So
when you were talking Hamlin
with Castlewood beating them.
For sure.
For some reason, I thought Duel was somebody else. I don't know why I said that.
All good.
So I said, they're really not having that great of a season. They actually are. So I just wanted to make an amendment on that, on myself, just calling myself out on that one. But Roncalli, nice victory against Falkton and holding Carly Cotton to 15 points. That's not too bad.
Yeah, defense has been their calling card, it seems like, this year. We talked with Coach Larson about that, and he's really liked the defensive growth from this year. They've been locked down to stop that Falkton offense. The 23 points, Cotton with 15. She had a good game, but really, and we've talked about this with Falkton, when they've won games this year, they've gotten everybody involved. And Roncalli just playing some really good basketball right now. 7-1, and they are in first place right now at the Region 1 standings. Groton's at 6-2. Great start to the season.
Can't wait to see that tussle coming up in the not-too-distant future. As for Aberdeen Central, their girls, they kind of had to grind one out a little bit yesterday, and I listened to the post-game show you had there with Coach Burkhardt and saying that's kind of going to be who they are for most of the season. You even mentioned that on the program yesterday. 51-36 winners last night. Taryn Hermanson was 2 rebounds shy of a double-double. She had 14 points. Lauren Burkhardt had that double-double. 13 points and 11 boards, as the Central girls were just mavens on the glass there last night.
Yeah, they really were. There was a point in the game at halftime where the Golden Eagles had 10 offensive rebounds. Watertown had 11 total. So they did a good job on the glass. Kind of a weird second half. They scored 37 of the 51 points in the first half. They just went stagnant offensively a little bit, but they were able to grind it out, get a win against the Watertown team that was pretty feisty in that second half. They forced 26 turnovers, and that's something that the Golden Eagles are going to have to clean up moving forward.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of double-digit wins after turning it over 26 times, so credit Aberdeen Central for that, certainly. Woolsey Westington, they picked up a victory over Aberdeen Christian, 51-46 there at the Civic. Shea Utecht had 16 points. Coach Burkett out there, by the way?
He is, yeah.
He is. Okay, so we'll take a look at this coming up later on in the program. I would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for a full, comprehensive scoreboard from last night. Final one before we do bring in Coach Burkett. On the boys' side of things, we'll switch over to that very, very quick. Like Brooks Jett, 27 points and 16 rebounds. Aberdeen Christian, they defeat Woolsey Westington, 62-45. A nice win there for the Knights, as Woolsey Westington was previously receiving votes.
Yeah, and Brooks Jett with a massive double-double, 27 and 16. Nice win for Aberdeen Christian. They've really had a nice little season going on right here.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And the other Aberdeen team in town, or in action there last night, was Aberdeen Central. They were in Watertown. They defeat Watertown 67-63. A really fine game from Brendan Phillips.
Yeah, I thought that Phillips, and I mentioned this to start the year, I feel like he could be a volume scorer. And I said, hey, there might be a couple games where he drops 30-35. It was 28 last night. They needed all 28. A game that was had all kinds of runs. They were trailing. They were leading. And then in the last minute, they were able to clutch up and come away with a really nice win. They played Watertown really tough over the last couple years, and they split with them last year. They play them again later on this year at home. So expect that one to be another dandy, but a great win on the road for the Golden Eagles. They were reeling a little bit, so nice to see them get a dub.
Nothing like Brendan Phillips gets him excited rather than playing Watertown. Hit that game-winning 3 against them last year. So a lot of fun for that squad, certainly, to get that kind of monkey off their back a little bit. Their first road victory of the season. Coach Burkett joins us next. We're talking some Northern State Wrestling after the timeout. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and we are pleased to be joined in studio. Big Notre Dame fan over here, Rocky Burkett. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. We're talking off the air about Notre Dame. How are you feeling for the national championship coming up next Monday?
Yeah, I keep my emotions to myself. It could be great. If they win, it's great. If they lose, I'm just going to play it off, right?
That's a good way to fan, you know? Very good way to fan.
Yeah. So remember the Lou Holtz and Ryan Day thing?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. I thought that
was
last funny.
It was last year. Yeah, it was last year. And we were winning the game with no time left on the clock, 10 players on the field, and they scored a touchdown on the goal.
Yeah.
So,
Should be a really good matchup. I'm looking forward to it, and I was telling you off the air, I've got a lot of family that went to Ohio State. My dad is from Ohio. I'm also Catholic, so I kind of like Notre Dame in that regard, too. So I'm going home a winner, either way you hack it. So
could both teams lose?
That's just it. I've got a friend, multiple friends that hate both teams. I'm like, why do you hate Notre Dame? It's like, well, why do we hate the New York Yankees, or why do we hate the Los Angeles Lakers and that sort of thing? So just one of those things, I guess. But we're here to talk about some Northern State wrestling. You guys are off to a great start this season, huh?
Yeah. Guys have done well so far. And I like the way they're competing. And it's got some newer guys in the lineup. Not necessarily. I mean, we do have some freshmen in there, but we got some newer guys that haven't had a chance to get in the lineup yet. So it's been fun to just kind of keep working with them and keep trying to get better each week.
And 41-4 versus USF. It seems like that's becoming the standard. You guys just dominating some of these teams in the duels.
Yeah, I mean, our schedule, we haven't faced any ranked teams yet. You know, obviously USF, they're going to be good. You know, one of our former alums, Matt Milner, is the head coach down there. So he's going to keep getting better with those guys. But they're, you know, honestly, they're only in their second year of competition. So coming into the NSIC, it's a little tough. So, you know, for us, we just really focused on going out and doing our thing and on executing our plans. And our guys did that pretty well on last Friday. But we got a tough few matches coming up here. So.
Yeah, Augustana coming up tomorrow, and that's exactly where I wanted to go, is talk about Matt Milner's here for a second, if I may, and what he has brought to, you know, your program over the years, and obviously he's now bringing that down south to Sioux Falls. Where do you begin as a first-year head coach or second year? I mean, where do you even begin a program and trying to get guys in and your style and your standard?
Yeah, it takes a while. I mean, like, when I took over, it was kind of almost like year one here at Northern. You know, we did have a few guys on the team, and we were really fortunate. We had some talented guys on the team already. But I think you just got to sell, recruit your vision. And obviously you're going to be recruiting in the area against your Augustanas, University of Mary's, who's gotten to be really good too as well. Your St. Clouds, your Nebraska Kearneys. You're kind of in that area there where you're hitting kids from Nebraska, Minnesota, South Dakota, and you're gonna have to battle it out with those schools. So it's really selling your vision, getting kids to believe in yourself, in your program, and obviously now you got the transfer portal too as well. So that'll definitely help out, and we'll kind of see how things shake out with the revenue sharing now. If you revenue share, I think D1 rosters have to go down to 30, so there'll be some different kids going in the portal, stuff like that. So we'll see how things shake out. I'm not really for sure what that's going to look like this next cycle in the spring. So,
brief follow-up, if I may. Is the transfer portal a huge deal at the wrestling side of things? I mean, we talk about it all the time for football. You know, talk D1 football.
Yep.
I mean, is it a huge, huge deal in wrestling or not so much?
I think it's just program to program. I think if you look in our conference, there's not very many kids from our conference that go in the transfer portal. You know, even for us, I think we've had we moved off of a guy and he went in the portal. Other than that, we had a kid that was a grad transfer, and he wanted to go the Division I route, so he ended up going to Nebraska. But other than that, we haven't had too many kids that have gone in the transfer portal, and really for our conference, they haven't had a whole lot either. So I think that just goes to show the type of coaches and stuff we have in the NSIC. I think we have some really, really good coaches, so kids don't want to leave, man. So.
And what's the kind of the outlook here for number 7 Augustana? That's a great program. What are some of the things you're looking for going into that?
Yeah, they are a great program. You know, really the next three programs, we have three on the road. We've had all home matches so far, so we're going to head on the road. We have Augustana, and then Parkside. I don't know where they were ranked last. I think they might have been third or fourth. And then you have University of Mary, who I think might be 11th. All three of those schools just wrestled at national duels last weekend. All three of them placed in the top 8. So they're a really good duel team. And, you know, Augustana, they're just physical team. They're going to be tough. They're going to do things really well. And it's going to be a good crowd. I mean, they have a good crowd. And I think last year we wrestled them. I mean, we had a lot of people there. So kind of like I know the basketball teams were down there. They had good crowds at Augustana this last weekend. I kind of expect the same thing. We're going to do they have a little social beforehand with our foundation down there. And I think it'll be a pretty fun environment and just got to go out and compete and do our thing.
And, you know, kind of following up, you know, one that I'm looking forward to, number six, Wyatt Turnquist. And, you know, they got Cale Larson in there at 149. You know, that one on paper should be a good one.
Yeah, it will. Cale was actually signed to go to Northern State when he was coming out of high school. So, you know, there's, you know, just, you know, so they are going to definitely have a great battle. I think Cale won last time. He got a takedown, and then I think it was like a 3-1, 3-2 match last time. So we wrestled at National Duels last year. We didn't wrestle in the duel, but yeah, so it'll be a fun matchup, and we just got to go out and we got to believe in ourselves and do our thing. I think that's really the key for all of our guys, is they got to believe in ourselves. You know, I think you know, they just got to make the decision, hey, today's going to be my day, and go out and battle.
Head coach Rocky Burkett joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm going to ask a couple questions about your new guys that you just signed here not that long ago. But, you know, I feel like wrestling is so unique in the sense that we talk about the main sports, like a football, just for the sake of argument, where you get your offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. Everybody has to be on the same page all the time. Now, for a head coach for wrestling, you've got each individual weight class who has a different game plan. Mm-hmm. How is that to kind of prepare for matches and duels and what have you? Because you get everybody on the same page for football, but in wrestling, you've got a completely different game plan for each different guy. I mean, how does that even kind of work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have an overall arching goal of how we go about our business every day, like how you prepare and how you manage yourself as a person and you know, in the classroom, all those things. Like our guys do a great job in the classroom. I think this last semester they got a 3-4. So part of, like, for wrestling, for us, it's just a mentality and a culture of building, like, hey, I'm going to go out and execute at everything I do and compete at everything I do. And then when we get to just the individual side of things, you know, it does come down to individual game planning of, like, where are you good? And let's execute in those positions where we're good, right? Be aware of where this guy's good, but let's find a way to make that our strength with what we do. And that's at least how we go about it. And then, you know, again, it's just the overall arching thing of if this guy does his job and that guy does his job and this, you know, if we can get 10 guys that are willing to go out there and battle every time for each other, you know, I like our chances of our guys and where we're at. So,
and somebody else who's been having a great season at 157 here, Griffin Lundeen at 17-5. What have you seen from him here this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's a true freshman. Him and Sloan Johansson are our two true freshmen that we put in the lineup. Just mature kids. They understand how to handle themselves and go about their business and preparing for each week. You know, we didn't have a lot of depth at that weight class. So, you know, at the beginning of the season, we just said, hey, we pulled him in and said, hey, do you feel like you'd be ready to go? And he said, yeah. You know, he's had a lot of success. I think he has like 260 wins in high school. I mean, the guy's wrestled a ton of matches, was a national runner up in Greco and Fargo this summer. So I think just for him, he just knows what success looks like. He's a mature kid. He does well in the classroom. He's zero issues off the mat. So we just like, hey, he's ready to go. He may not be ready technically and all that stuff. He's going to have to learn some things at this level, but he has the blueprint for success if he's willing to learn. So
always blows my mind how freshmen come in and just can really play well, regardless of sport. Obviously, in this case, we're talking wrestling. But I remember I was such a goofball my freshman year of college.
100%.
And people to be that mature is really amazing. So you got four new guys coming in, one of them right here in Aberdeen with Mason Shrimp.
Yeah.
Central's off to a great start here as well. I feel like for a head coach, you almost have to be like an octopus. You know, you got one tentacle in this school over here and, you know, keep an eye out on that school over there. Central's off to a great start. What can we talk about with this next slew of guys coming in?
Mason's had a great year. Obviously, he's been around for a long time, our program. He trains at our regional training center in the summer times and stuff, so it's been good. You know, I remember, here's a funny story about Mason Shrimp. I think he was probably a fourth grader, maybe a fifth grader. He was gonna quit wrestling, and I got word of it, so I remember writing him a letter. He wanted to go play basketball. I remember writing him a letter when he was like fourth or fifth grade. Our youth president told me he was thinking about quitting, so I wrote him a letter, and he stuck out with wrestling. So it's pretty cool to see him come back, and now he's going to be a part of our program. Kind of, you know, Raiden's part of our program too, so it's always good to get in Saul Frank. It's always good to get those guys that have come, you know, through our program when they're little kids, and you see them be successful. It's funny story too with those guys is Mason. So I saw a video this year, my first year, we did a fall camp, and in the front row of that camp, when the kids are warming up, it's Raiden Zins, Grady Fye, and Mason Fye. And they're all, you know, Grady is now 260 pounds, but back then he was, you know, a little guy. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, going back to just the guys we signed, Mason Shrimp, you know, really excited about him. Great kid. We also have Jacob Williams from Rapid City Stevens. Great kid, great wrestler. Just had a really big win this weekend. Won the Bismarck Rotary. We've had a Stevens kid in our room every year for the last 8 years. So I was like, we need to keep the streak going. Get this guy. He's been at our camps and stuff. Great kid. Calder Sheehan from Rochester Mayo. He just won the biggest tournament in Minnesota, the Rochester Christmas tournament, Minnesota Christmas tournament. He has ties here. Toby Doden's his uncle. His mom's his mom is Doden, and his dad played football here. His uncle was in the Hall of Fame for football. So he's got some ties to the area. Yeah, legacy. Yeah, so it's cool to get him here. And you know, we also had Gage Anderson from Lemon, South Dakota, been coming to our camps and stuff. So another great kid. So yeah, just excited about that group. We want to keep building on that recruiting base, and we got to get some more guys this spring and see where things shake out.
And that probably makes recruiting a little bit easier then for you, right? If you got ties to the area, Mason Shrimp here, the Aberdeen Central, that kind of makes it easier for you, I guess, a little bit, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, like I said, I've known those guys since he was a little guy, man. So, so it's cool to have them come into the program. And with our regional training center, they all get to be a part of that, like him and Mason and Raiden and Grady Fye. They were all part of that when they're in high school, coming in and training with our guys in the summer. So makes it pretty cool.
Now get back here to this schedule. You got, you know, some great programs you're facing off here.
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of the mindset, these next couple of matches?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we understand like the next 3 weeks are in, you know, within those 3 weeks, we have the three away matches, and then right after we get back from Bismarck, we got to wrestle Southwest here at home, so can't forget that one. But we see where that 3 week stretch is, but really it's like, hey, let's one at a time. So we're getting ready for Augustana, but we also know, like, in the back of our minds, hey, we got to be ready for these are big matches for regional seeds. You know, the last time we'll see these opponents, and so these matches could be really big for that. And obviously we want to go out and compete and win these duels too. Like, it's important for us to go out and win these duels. And last year we had a lot of duels that came down to one or two matches. And if we win those one or two matches, we win, you know, a handful more duels than what we did last year. And it's going to be important to see who goes out and finds a way to win that one tough match that we need to get us to five matches or six matches for the duel to get the overall team win.
Get over that proverbial hump.
Yeah.
And appreciate you popping in studio here, Coach Burkett. I'm still blown away on the writing the letter story. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, just an eye for talent, even for a fourth grader.
Yeah,
that's
no,
kinda cool.
Well, it's like, yeah. You know, I had just come off being at the high school, and we kind of really tried to get that youth program going. And it's like, well, we can't lose this guy to basketball.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that story. All right, good stuff. Good luck tomorrow down south in Sioux Falls. Got to turn that place into, like, Aberdeen 2.0. There was a lot of maroon and gold down there on Saturday when the basketball teams were there.
Yeah, honestly, last time we dueled them, it was probably half and half.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool.
I believe it. Good luck tomorrow.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks so much. Head coach Rocky Burkett here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. James Glenn of the Northern State men's basketball squad. He'll join us in the studio after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Our thanks to head coach Rocky Burkett for taking some time out of his schedule and joining us on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and we are joined live in studio with James Glenn of the Northern State men's basketball squad. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate y'all having me today.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. So, in our first segment, I talked about your nickname. I've been calling you NASA. I don't know if you know this or not.
I've not heard that.
So John Glenn was a NASA guy.
Sure.
You're James.
Sure.
It's not quite the same thing. Do you like that? Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I can rock with that.
Okay.
Doesn't bother me.
See, Matt loves that nickname. I'm kind of like, I like it. I don't love it.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have many better options.
You're the deciding factor on this.
Yeah, no. I can rock. I'll run with that.
All right.
Run with NASA.
All right. You probably fly with that.
That's fine. Smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the old
knee slapper right there.
The old hi hat. Yeah, I could probably boo my. Is there a boo button in here or something? Maybe drop one of these. This is it's probably a pretty corny joke, but nevertheless, a tough start to the season, certainly. Fair. But the thing about this team is you guys are there in just about every single game. What's it going to take to kind of get over that hump a little bit?
I think it's just a little bit more learning to play with each other. You know, we're all in a new situation. We have a lot of new guys, including myself. You know, we're just – it's taking a little bit more of a learning curve than we anticipated or wanted. But, you know, it's in God's plan, and we're just going to show up every day and work hard. And I think once it clicks, it'll click, and we can start winning some games, putting a few together. So – right now it's a tough spot to be in, but no one's quitting, you know, no one's quitting on the team or anything like that. We're showing up and working hard. And I think once we learn how to win a little bit, like we know how to compete, but once we learn how to win together and like in our new positions, I think that'll kind of solidify us a little bit more. So,
yeah, like I've been saying that the last couple of weeks when we've been talking about your squad, I feel like it hasn't been an effort thing. It's been more of a, you know, turnover here that leads to a couple buckets the other way. How do you see those, some of those end of the games going where, you know, you're right there and then a turnover or a mistake leads to, you know, the other team being able to go on a little bit of a run?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I think it really leads into preparation, not just in practice, but everyone's like personal daily lives. You know, how are you going about the day? Are you locked in throughout the day? Are you focused on what you're doing, or are you having lapses throughout the day? You know what I mean? I don't know if everyone believes that translates, but I sure do. I think it'll absolutely translate that when you can stay focused for 24 hours, or usually like 16 or so, but throughout the day, then usually you can stay locked in for 40 minutes. You know what I mean? So I think as we just continue to grow in that, we got, again, like I said, we got a lot of new guys learning our new roles. So just learning how to stay locked in for 40 straight minutes. Trust me, we've seen all those things on film, and every time we watch it, we're like, man, like, how do we keep letting this happen? But, you know, we all still feel like we're just right there. So
you certainly are right there. I mean, I think it was 7 of your 9 conference losses, or 6 of the 9, have been by 2 possessions or fewer. I mean, right there in so many of those games. You mentioned, as James Glenn joins us here on FSA, staying locked in for a full, like, 16 hours, got to sleep sometime. How difficult is that, especially for, you know, 18 to 20-some-odd-year-old guys where everything's like TikTok nowadays, social media, you know, it's easy to put your attention somewhere else. Like, that's got to be tough to do, is staying locked in for that amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of got to do it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just because we're younger or anything like that, it shouldn't change anything, in my opinion. It is a little bit, I mean, it's tough in today's day and age. Like, everything's on social media and getting thrown around. And, I mean, it's kind of created to make you addicted to it, you know what I mean? And it's pretty easy to do. So when you have something like school and basketball, and for me, my wife, you know, and the Lord, and I'm trying to put all my attention towards that, like, it becomes a lot easier when you have that something you're working towards each day. It becomes much, much easier.
I remember the start of the season. It was the first exhibition game, and we were talking about it. And, you know, I went to that game, saw you play, and I remember coming on the show and saying, I just like your style of play. You seemed like you were a vocal leader on the defensive end. You're constantly chattering on the floor, which I, you know, can appreciate. I like that. How would you kind of explain your style of play on the floor?
I like the way you explained it, but I have fun. I like to have fun out there. You know, I try not to stress myself out too much. You know, I like you're saying, I yap a lot. Whether I never really trash talk, I just yap, you know what I mean? And I try to communicate well with the team and stuff. And like you're saying, try to be that vocal guy. I sometimes get a little bit too finesse and not as much like using my athleticism, but yeah.
Have you always been a kind of vocal guy on the floor? Is that something you adapted over time?
Definitely did not come natural. Had to for a while start figuring out how to really be that guy. I'm not necessarily a loud person outside of the court, I think. So it was definitely a change, specifically after my freshman year of college, I'd say. So
Well, you started off at Des Moines Area Community College, yes, and you make your way here to Aberdeen. Can you kind of walk us through your path a little bit? Because you were kind of dual enrolled. You did homeschool as well, mm-hmm, as high school, kind of dual enrolled. I feel like that's kind of unique in the fact that, you know, both of us, we went just to standard high schools. I think you went to a private school. I went to a, mm-hmm, public school, kind of unique. But you feel like, you know, you're around the same people every day. You know, that's how high school athletics is born. You know, you've got friends in class and whatnot. But, you know, it's kind of different because you're dual enrolled. So you've got kind of a unique background in general, high school as well as going to a junior college.
I love it, man. Like the whole, I can't even think of the word, but the whole career, whatever you want to call it, like it's been awesome. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm so glad that my parents decided to homeschool me and my family. We had a big family, so that made it a little bit more enjoyable, I'm sure, than some others. But going to JUCO and like college in general, I thought it translated really well because a lot of homeschooling is just teaching you how to learn rather than like teaching you, like, so I'm kind of teaching myself throughout the day. And that's kind of what it comes down to in college, you know, not sit in class for 8 hours a day. So that translated well. And then, you know, as a homeschooler, I'm going to school for a couple hours a day, and then I'm working out and I'm doing the things that I want to put a lot of time to, which college athletics, that's kind of what it comes down to. So I thought it translated really well. Mm-hmm. And then going from DMAC to here, I mean, I love it. It's a lot of energy here. It's going from a gym that not a lot of people are in, even though our team was good, you know, we're pretty successful, but it's a small town, you know, and so going from here and everyone wants to see you play, and the Wax Arena's packed for the most part each night. Like, it's different, but it's pretty fun.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because in your first game at Wax Arena, I think that was the game you hit, what, 8 threes?
Something like that.
So you were dialed into that game there.
I was excited to go, man. Yeah, I was excited to go. Yeah,
yeah. Can you talk about being in that zone first game in front of, you know, the hometown crowd here, if you can remember that?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
It does feel like a long time ago. It's hard to really put into words that feeling, walking out and like having everyone cheering in that way that I just have not experienced before. Even high school, anything like that. Like, that is, everyone's there on the same page wanting to see you succeed. And that was a pretty amazing experience. And then to know how tight-knit our group was on the court, it just made it that much better, that every shot I hit, I could look over at our bench, everyone's standing up cheering. Every shot that someone else hit, I'm cheering for them. You know what I mean? And like, that just makes it incredibly enjoyable. So,
did you ever hit 8 threes in a game before?
Truthfully, can't remember. Maybe like AAU or something like that. Definitely not college. So
do you black out in the process? I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've talked to student athletes on the program and we're like, walk us through this game or walk us through this play. And they're like, I don't know, I just blacked out in the moment. I just happened to have a really good play or something like that. So do you think, or are you just acting?
Oh, man, that's tough. It's kind of a little bit of both, which is, I don't know, it's harder to describe again, but like, you have to stay locked in. But like, as it's happening, yeah, like you say, you're kind of not thinking about each detail of your shot, you know, you're just catching, letting that thing go. So it's a little bit of both. That is this the right shot to take, which when you've hit a few threes usually is, but you know, it's a little middle ground of like staying locked in on the game. You still have to guard, you still have to play defense, and find your teammates in the right spots. But if you get an open look, you're letting that thing go without a second thought. So
what's, I'm kind of curious, what's kind of the JUCO, you know, college basketball scene from your perspective, you know, playing, you know, at the JUCO level?
I think it's the way to go, man. I think way more athletes should look at it. For me personally, it worked out super well. It helped me develop. It was a huge blessing in disguise. I played my freshman year, was under a couple former D2 guards that had transferred JUCO, and they were able to show me the ropes quite a bit. One of them actually ended up at Augustana again, and he was a great mentor. And then I was able to take that and learn. And then my second year, I ended up breaking my wrist, redshirted, which again, huge blessing, because I was able to develop the whole second half of the year, just be on scout team all year and really get my confidence up while like giving me another year the next year to practice it, and also like practice it in game, I mean. And also on the personal side, I had just got married, so it gave me another time to be around family while we were married, and it just worked out great for Shandra and I.
Just got married in my 30s. This guy's over here doing it in college.
Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff, man. If you know, I mean, if you know, you know. And obviously, you made it, made the uh, made that move, and God bless you for it. And, you know, you mentioned you've got a big family. We got to take a quick commercial break here. I'm going to see if I can squeeze in a question or two about that coming up next. Stay tuned. The Sports Hub continues after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. James Glenn here in studio on FSA, and we're talking off the air about your family. Very, very big family. You're the youngest of nine. What's that kind of like? I mean, I guess eight, technically. You're the ninth.
No, I'm the tenth.
You're the tenth.
So nine by a lot, nine more siblings. Yeah, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's a lot of us.
It's like a whole offense or a whole defense. Is it how many sports are you guys in? Is it all basketball, or is it kind of a couple do here and there? Or?
There were a lot of different ones. The three youngest of us all played college basketball. My brother played professional ultimate frisbee. One of my other brothers did like college club rugby. He did.
Yeah, I played rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. But go ahead.
No, you're good. And then he also did like MMA and stuff like that, where he just anything that he could hit someone. And then my oldest brother went to the Marines. So my sisters weren't huge into athletics. They'd, you know, just play outside with us and stuff, but not collegiate or anything. But yeah, so.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's biologically. My family actually, not like technically adopted, but quite a few people have just come to live with us. So I consider added on like five brothers pretty much, where they've come live with us for a period of time and just for a very variety of reasons. But so really there's like 15 of us. It's wild.
Wow.
Wow. So for you, was it always basketball? Did you play any other sports growing up?
I played football for a little bit. And then I realized that I did not have that body and really just didn't enjoy it as much after a while. And I could shoot the ball a little bit better than I could throw it. So,
ironically enough, we're going to have James Glenn on Pack Chat. That'll air on Friday and Saturday. One of my questions, we'll do a little double dipping here, why not, is how far can you throw a football? So how far can you throw it? 20 yards, 30 yards, 50?
I bet I can get close to 50, 40 to 50 maybe. Okay. Solid around that range. It's been a while, though. I don't know. I don't know. I could be completely lying to you right now.
Sure. How about a Nerf football?
Oh, I could launch that. I could launch that thing. I don't know. I could get a few 10, 20 out of that.
Yeah,
10
extra 20. We could probably all launch a Nerf football. I think that's for sure. So, James Glenn here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple minutes left to go on the show. And you've got SMSU coming up this week and also USF. How's the mindset of the squad? You know, I know we've talked about kind of this, that, and the third during the program here, but I guess if we can kind of steer it a little bit more towards basketball here for the final couple questions. SMSU is a good squad. They're very well coached. What's the kind of the scouting report looking like for these guys and to, you know, win some games on the road this weekend and going forward? What's that kind of look like for you guys?
Man, they're a solid squad, as is USF. They got a really good big. They can all shoot it. I mean, every one of their guys that steps on the floor can let that thing go and at a high percentage. So they got quick guards. Yeah, like I said, really good bigs that can shoot that thing. So we're just going to have to come out, hit them first, and stick, like I was saying earlier, 40 minutes straight. I think if we can get a good jump from the start and a lot of energy, even though it's a away game, like if we can create our own energy, you know, and stick with it for 40 minutes, I think we have a good shot. And same thing for USF, to be honest.
Do you like playing on the road?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I mean, obviously, Wax Arena is a different thing that I would love to play here. But like I was saying, come from JUCO, I mean, we'd have some games you'd have 17 people in the stands. You know, like, so going on the road and even having people cheering against me, I'm like, this is cool. So,
for sure.
Yeah, all for it. What do you know about I Hate Winter? That's coming up next weekend. What do you know about that?
Not much, man. I don't know. It was a cool recruiting tactic, I know, to get me here, showing me those games and watching all the fans. So I'm excited to experience it. I know it should be a good turnout and hopefully get a couple wins that weekend. That's what I'm mainly focused on. So,
Tukes, you got your Hawaiian shirt picked out yet?
I got a couple of them this year.
There we go.
I got a lot of them. I wore the Bananas one last year. I think I wore my Seahawks Hawaiian shirt for another one of the games. But I'm a big Hawaiian shirt guy. This is what happens when you get into your 30s, you're married, you've got a kid, second one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. You become a Hawaiian shirt guy. Maybe that's just a me problem, I don't know. But I'm excited to break them out. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to become a Hawaiian shirt guy.
There you go. No, that's just it. I mean, how many kids do you want, you know, at some point in time?
5 to 6, hopefully. get a good squad in there. I don't know if either of us will be able to reach that 10 mark that both of our parents did, but we like to get a good squad in there and grow the kingdom, man.
If I told my wife 10, she might slap the taste out of my mouth. So I don't see that happening, but God bless you for it. That's fantastic. I wish you nothing but the best. We're going to record Pack Chat here in a couple minutes, so thanks for popping in studio, and we'll talk to you on Friday and Saturday, which people will hear on Friday and Saturday.
Sounds great. Appreciate you guys having me.
You got it.
God bless.
Absolutely. That's James Glenn here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5, final minute of the show here. Would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for a full list of all of the games there from last night on the high school and college side of things, mostly on the high school side. Pretty much a full slate of GPAC contest for tonight in the men's and women's basketball front there as well. By the way, you had Castlewood defeat Clark Willow Lake last night, 50-38 on the guys' side. Jameson Kessler with 19 points. We had Paul Rosh on the program last week saying this is a big stretch for those guys, and so far, so good. They're 2-0 in it.
Yeah, 2-0 in the stretch, playing some really good basketball right now. Jameson Kessler, he's just on fire right now. So smooth on the offensive end.
We'll talk with new Aberdeen Christian volleyball coach Sally Gall tomorrow.